fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue on a theme I touched on yesterday. I'd like to cover this whole week, calling this week Standing on the Rock. I hope this week will be a source of encouragement for you and a kind of exhortation to see that the Lord has for you all the grace you need for every single circumstance in your life. Circumstances of your life shouldn't dictate to you who you are. Don't have to control your feelings, your thoughts. But instead, we want to, as Scripture says, to put on the mind of Christ. So yesterday I began by talking about a favorite Bible passage of mine that I think addresses the kind of anxiety and fear and tension that seems to be gripping our culture. I mean, if you just spend any time watching the news media, which I don't anymore, just because there's a kind of madness, I think, that's overtaken them. They're obsessed with every political move. And what happens is, what I see is people are kind of losing their bearings, and they become obsessed with every little detail of something that they perceive is not working. And they see a conspiracy around every corner and become preoccupied with it, and then talk about it 24/7, and what builds up is anxiety and tension and fear. And yeah, the world's a difficult place. Yeah, there's all kinds of ups and downs in life. Yeah, there are actual and potential military conflicts. There's a war going on against the family. There's an increased secularization in the culture. There's a lot of disturbing statistics about what's happening in the lives of young people today, both those who are leaving the church, but also you see a high rate of suicide. You see an intensification of drug use of kinds that are extremely harmful. Even in middle America, the tensions and racial tensions are still present and sometimes just ready to flare up at any moment. Politicians don't seem to have any light and clarity to lead. They themselves seem to be caught up in this vortex of anxiety and fear. Now, it's all there, and I don't have to document it because you know it and you see it, you feel it. But we need to be able to, as I said, put on the mind of Christ. Being a Christian, standing in the Lord, standing on the rock, which is Christ, understanding and remembering who we are, is the secret to being able to live in peace in the midst of all of this, and to actually be a conduit of grace for others, to be a light for the world. As I mentioned yesterday, one of my favorite quotes from Cardinal André de Lubac, who was from France and died many years ago, was a key theologian in the Second Vatican Council, said a disciple, one of the things that characterizes a disciple, a follower of Jesus, what's a disciple? A learner, someone who is following after Jesus and learning how to live as Jesus lived. He said, a disciple of Jesus should never be surprised when the world acts worldly. Never be surprised when the world is constantly troubled by one thing or another. As again, I mentioned yesterday, Jesus said the same thing. That's probably where the cardinal got it from. Essentially, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulations. Count on it. But be of good cheer. That's Jesus' exhortation to you and to me right here and right now. Be of good cheer. Why? Because all of this is temporary. Jesus has overcome the world. The real issue, the most important thing that's happening and unfolding in the world, is not the political issues that we're facing. It's not the social and cultural issues primarily that we're facing. And all these things are important. But the biggest question is not what political party are you in, or not which military do you stand with, or who's your favorite Hollywood hero that's kind of informing you on how you're supposed to live your life. The most important thing going on in this world is not where you live, how much money you have, how big a job you have, all the important friends that you have. The most important thing is, do you know Jesus Christ? And the only real tragedy, the only true tragedy that a human being will face that's ultimate in this world is the tragedy of never coming to know God and dying in sin apart from God and being eternally separated from Him in hell. That's the issue on the planet, period. And for most people, it seems far off. It's the immediate that absolutely consumes us. So it's one of the reasons why, as I was reading yesterday in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, Jesus' exhortation, part of the Sermon on the Mount, where he's talking to us and telling us, don't be anxious about your life. It's really a command. I mean, in some ways, Jesus is saying, don't be anxious because it doesn't make sense to be anxious. Given who you are, given who God is, and his faithfulness to you, and his rock-solid promises that he's given you for your life. Given the fact that you, if you're born again into Christ through water and the Spirit, through baptism and new life in the Spirit, and you live in his church, and you're walking with him day by day, and seeking to love God and love neighbor and make disciples. You say, why am I on earth? Why does every parish exist in the country, in the world? Why does every diocese exist? Why does the church exist? It's really simple. To love God, to love neighbor, make disciples. Simplify your life. Simplify the way you think about your life. Simplify how you understand your purpose on earth. Literally, the fundamental reason you were made. You were made by love, God himself. You were made for love. You were made to share in the love between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to participate in that wider communion and family that God is creating on the earth. People who want to enter into that love, God is offering an invitation for the world, one heart at a time, to enter his family. The earth is meant to be inhabited by God's children. But because of the fall, because of the fall of Adam and Eve and the resistance to God, coming under the dominion of sin that resists God and doesn't trust him, which is at the heart of a healthy family, is loving trust, right? Human heart's been darkened, and this world is in the hands of the enemy, in the hands of the devil, who seeks to constantly draw us away from God, to deceive us and seduce us, and to break up whatever unity God wants to create. But in these moments, remember who you are. Wake up every day and lay hold of it. Grab God's word. Read key passages. Read the catechism, what the catechism teaches about who you are, about what God's accomplished in you. You're not an accident. You're not some evolutionary accident living in a material world without meaning. That's baloney. It's not true. You were made by God. You were formed in the palm of his hand. You're God's idea. And he created you for a purpose. And he placed you on this earth. He gave you life. And he calls you back. He calls you to be, and he promises he will help you be everything you were made to be. And it starts with knowing you're a child of God. The apostles tell us, St. John, in the first chapter of John's Gospel, he said, when they're asking him, what did Jesus do? Well, Jesus gave us power, he said. Jesus gave us unique power. What is that power? He gave us power to become children of God. That's the beginning of who you are in Christ. He didn't say he gave us power to go solve the problems of the world. He gave us power to fix the world. That's not step one. Step one is he gave you power to become something you're not. He gave you power to become literally a child of God so that you can enter the family of God, daughter or son. He made you. Now, what is a son of God like? What is a daughter of God like? What is this child, you, the child of God, what has your father sent you here for? What's the economy of the family of God? What's the culture of the family of God? How do we live? What's the way of life? It's the way of love. You've been made by love, and you've been made for love. The most important thing the most important behavior that you will give account of before God, that he's going to want to know, he's going to shed his light on your life on judgment day, and he's going to say, did you love? And your life's going to flash before you, And in an instant, you're going to know. You're going to see what you actually loved. And Jesus is going to say, did you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Yes, imperfectly, but did you do it? Is that what you wanted? Was that your treasure? And did you love your neighbor as yourself? Or was your time, treasure, talent, your imagination, your desires, your passion, was it all directed toward self-love, inordinate self-love, my comfort, my entertainment, my honor, my pleasure, my possessions? That's the momentum of the world. That's the culture of the world. That's not the culture of the kingdom of God. And so if we're anxious about these things, that can tell us a lot about the immaturity of our faith. We have to make a break, a conscious break, friends, from the world and the energy of the world. Really, there's a disordered energy in the world that constantly is at work pressuring and seducing human hearts into believing that the happiness that we long for, and really the love that we seek, the contentment or the way to deal with the restlessness that's inside, is to have more for me. The answer is to have more pleasure. Well, I'm not happy. I'm not that happy in this marriage. There's got to be more. I don't feel right. Oh, I met this young woman. And boy, I feel so much better when I'm around this young woman. She makes me feel alive and happy. Or a man who makes me feel alive and happy. And I say, the most important thing for me, here's where the rubber hits the road. Do I love God and neighbor first? Who's my neighbor here? It's my wife or my husband, my children. Do I love God who's commanded me to be faithful to my spouse? To love even when it hurts? To love even when it's not all feel good for me? To lay down my life for her and for him and for my children? Or is the most important thing to break from my covenant commitments to try to go find a better feeling for myself, more pleasure, more comfort, whatever it is? I want to get away from what's uncomfortable in me. I want to fix it. And so I turn away from the command. That's what the world invites us to do all the time. My friend Ralph Barton, he was just reading a New York Times article a few days ago, a huge article in the New York Times talking about the wonder and the beauty and the health and the goodness of open marriage. That is, you're married, but both spouses agree, let's just have relationships outside marriage. That's not the kind of love that made you. That's not the love that died on a cross. That's not the love that will live forever. That's not love at all. That's lust. That's self-seeking. That's serious sin. And that's the kind of economy, way of life, plan, and decision that's going to lead to hell and separation from God. Because it says, I don't want to live in the family. So we have to be really awake at this time of so much shaking in the culture so we can live a different way of life. Tune in again tomorrow, friends. I want to continue to talk about this. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.